We are once again started with the Watch for the Hook Business and Entrepreneur Podcast. It's Michael with
Tatiana.
Hey, Miss Parker, guess what?
What's up?
This is episode 101.
I thought you were going to say it's June. Wait, is it June yet?
No, oh, no. It's still May. Still May, Miss Parker. Still May.
Sorry, wonder the weather.
Not quite hit summer. Summertime fine. It's not hit just yet.
Holy crap, up on me then.
You can not hit with the crib, but it's okay. I appreciate you sitting in here with us, bro. So, like I said, we in episode 101, Watch for the Hook Business Entrepreneur Podcast. Dream is out right now.
It is.
www.watch4thehook.com. Hey, for all the dreamers, folks with the nightmares, the folks with the visions, the folks with the poltergeists, the folks with whatever you got. Hey, that shirt is for you. Come on by www.watch4thehook.com. Check out our latest apparel. All right, so as me and Miss Parker been talking, y'all, man, you know, like I said, we got a couple of ventures going on. And, you know, one of the things we talk about as being business owners is other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that is, how do you use other people's money?
When should you use it? Why should you use it?
And we nicknamed it, it's not OPM, other people's money. But we also talk about, like, when you're getting grants, doing fundraisers, trying to find a way to help your business grow.
Yeah.
Equity-wise. You may have to use somebody else's money.
Yeah.
But as Ms. Parker's always talked about, sometimes that money comes with purse strings.
It does.
And even right now, we're off in our business venture with the apartment complex, and we got a financial lender we're dealing with. And let's just be honest. Sometimes they don't feel like they're on the up and up with us.
Sometimes I just want to, like, send a video through email of, like, an ugly facial expression.
My wife wants to send them a meme. Tell them, fuck you, something. That's what you want to say.
I'm like, that's me putting it nicely.
Sometimes she want to send an emoji. I can't stand y'all.
The middle finger.
Yeah, because that's the crazy thing. When you're looking for a financial lender, or you've got somebody that's giving you financial backing, sometimes you're held up because of them.
Yeah. Regardless of the reasoning behind the holdup, there's a delay, there's a slowdown, there's an impediment, there's an obstacle. Like, dude, it's cute ludicrous.
Sometimes y'all move, bitch. Get out the way. Get out the way, bitch. Get out my way.
Please.
And even, like, we're even talking about this because we're coming up on the third year that we purchased the apartment complex, pay cash. People don't understand why you say that out loud. Because it's ours.
Pay cash,
that means you're yours. Yeah. Ain't nobody say you don't own it. It ain't got nothing to deal with you. Now, when you pay cash, they can get the deed.
And absolutely.
When you get the deed, that means you or we are the man, woman, person that hold that title.
Yeah, that's right.
Holding that title carries weight.
It does.
And so when you go to a lender, like we'll even talk about it right now, and we talked about it once before, we were dealing with a lender for 10 months that was like, oh yeah, we got this, we're going to do that. And they kept waiting and waiting and waiting.
Hang on, like, a couple more weeks. Everything was a couple more weeks till finally we pushed back.
And we realized it had been 10 months.
That's right.
And you know why it was 10 months? Because we were trying to get somebody else's money.
Right.
Which is money you get financed, and then you have to pay back over time.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with OPM, other people's money, that's the shit you go through that a lot of people think is taboo. Or let's just be honest. If you ain't got enough skin in the game, or you do look, or if you don't look right on paper, you will never get that far.
You won't. They won't even have the conversation with you.
Like, even like right now with the lender we're dealing with, we just had to clear up a misperception a few weeks ago. And we were talking to the financial advisor, and the person said, well, y'all act like y'all ain't got to give us nothing for y'all to get started. And we was like, huh? And my wife was like, you act like we ain't got no equity in this. And when I heard equity, I said, damn, that's the word I was looking for. And I told them, I said, y'all forget we paid cash for this property.
Right.
So that's our skin up front.
That's right.
The simple fact that we purchased the property, we outright own it, on paper, we're already looking good.
Right. You're ahead of the curve at that point. But the issue was the fact that your bitch ass pretended you forgot about it. And that had been an impediment that had not been exposed for the longest.
Pushing us back weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you forgot about it. You ain't forget about that.
And when you're trying to get demolition started and you got a contractor, basically, with the dozer ready to go.
Okay.
And all they're looking for is the big sign that said money paid.
Right, right, right.
And that sign or that click ain't been clicked. And they got the gas running in the dozer.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, they said they're going to pay us Thursday. It's now Saturday. Where we at?
Right.
And you're like, why am I having this problem with you? When once again, you accepted our terms. And when I say our terms, you go through an application process. They ask you these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you ask these things and you provide proof, and then you accept it. Mm-hmm. Why are we hitting the stop button?
Right, right, right. But you're forgetting answers to questions we've already asked. We've already answered. I say that backwards.
Yeah.
And those were questions that you posed on the initial application, which is the reason that we were able to get that far.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand. And my wife has been pointing out to me, and I got to give her props. Sometimes you can look so good on paper, they can't deny you.
No, they can't say no.
Not without being sued.
Right, right. That's a legal issue right there.
But then they can accept you and then slow you the fuck up.
Yep.
And sometimes you're like, why are they slowing us up? Well, what did we do? You just you.
Yeah, absolutely. When every time you ask a question and it's answered in riddle form, you start to figure that out. So you start to pose your questions and ask your questions differently so that the riddle isn't even allowed to be a response.
Me and my wife have been schooled on legalese.
Oh boy, have
we. And listen, we know how to ask a yes or no question.
And respond back with the, I asked you a yes or no question.
And I asked you to give me answers to six other questions I didn't ask.
I ain't asked for that. So you gave me those answers, but I still need this question that has been asked to be answered. And I need it responded to in a yes or no format.
The question is, the fuck is going on?
Right. What's taking so long?
Oh, yeah. Where we at?
I don't hear that. I don't hear that. You can give me bullets. I don't want to hear that.
And so we're being, this, like you said, we always be transparent with y'all. Me and Ms. Parker are taking on the undertaking that, you know, a lot of people can sit down and when you can ask for, you know, people ask for grants or ask for loans of other people's money. Sometimes that's like a 5, 10, 20, 25, 40, 50, 60. Nah, we talking about a few hundred K. We talking money. We talking about money that could change a whole lot of folks' lives if we looked at it the right way. Is it not true, Ms. Paul?
Yeah.
And then when somebody says, we come to a skirt, we're like, wait a minute.
All right. There should be no screeching halt, abrupt halt, no complete stop.
Because it's just like anything in life. Once you get started, until you finish it, why am I not going the way I started?
Right.
We've already hit the go button.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hardest button hit.
Yeah.
A lot of people will be able to testify. Getting the go sign is the hardest sign in business.
Because that's right.
You can turn around and they can give you every excuse on why you have not started.
Yep.
But once you start,
it should be free flowing from that point on.
Only natural disasters or some craziness that you are not in control of should be the only reason you hit a stop button. You shouldn't hit a stop button because somebody said, I forgot to push. I forgot to send an email.
Right.
Or I forgot.
Deadline.
Or I couldn't get in contact with somebody.
Ooh,
when they were letting you know, oh, this will be.
Right.
Oh, it'll be that quick. You know, what I got to do is just talk to so-and-so and we can go on really fast. And then you turn around like, so
yeah,
why you ain't got contact with so and so?
everything that has supposedly been really quick, it has not been really quick, really quick. It sounds like my 7-year-old nephew talking to me. I just really wanna, can we just really run to the, can we just go to the Target and the Walmart? It's never really quick, and it's never a really little amount.
Especially when you talking tens and hundreds of thousands
right,
of dollars.
Right,
You're
right,
like,
right, right.
Wait a minute. And we stop because you can get somebody to respond to an email.
Oh my God.
You can get them on the phone.
Yeah, it's
wait a
really
minute.
Annoying.
This is where we at?
It's really annoying.
The bulldozer has hit stop because you can't get in contact with the person you said was
right.
100.
Right. Absolutely.
It would be a problem getting with them.
I mean, so it always makes me, you know, I go and I wonder, I'm like, okay, so where's your alternative plan? Where's your, this is your number one. Who's your number two? Cause
you're like, where the backup?
Yeah, if you depending on that number one and that number one, what is the old adage? If I walk outside and get hit by a truck today or a train today, a van today, bus today, who's going to pick the show up and continue going? So where's your backup?
Yeah, well, my job, we found there wasn't no backup. So we know how that functions in real life. There was no backup. A motherfucker just fell off the
grid,
and now you fuck. But for us, you shouldn't accept that in the business world.
No.
Because in the business world, there are contingencies built in. Those are the contingencies that, let's just be honest, that they sell you on
right
to even deal with
to
them.
Get your business. Exactly. Absolutely.
So let's keep it a buck, people. Banks don't make money by money sitting in the bank.
Nope.
Banks make money by recirculating money out, loaning it out to other people to get to garner interest.
Yep.
Which is how they pay their bills.
They just flipping it.
And how they be profitable. Yeah, yeah. It's the original dope game.
They just flipping it.
You know, because I always go back to the old adage. They always say that Freedman's Bank made bad investments in the 1800s. And I was like, there wasn't even a stock market. But okay, you know, that's how I just love to jump back in history a little bit.
They come with them bad personal loans.
Yeah, yeah, because we always talk about other people's money, and I was like, shit, they just got a little money. How the hell they can get somebody else's?
Yeah, they talk about them. They didn't get to recoup all the interest that they should have recouped on those small loans they were giving out back then. People not only couldn't pay the interest, but couldn't pay the note, so they just lost their money.
Yeah, and then they turn around and just tell us, it's okay. Go somebody else. And then even for us, when we're talking about, you know, OPM and deal with other people's money, me and Ms. Park have looked at many financial institutions. You will be surprised who's not lending.
Yeah, that was another little area that was super relevant to what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Just the whole lending component, like, it's one thing for you to find somebody that will lend to you, but, you know, there are a lot of cases where you will run into people that aren't lending, period, or they're not lending for that particular area. So, you know, it's more to the search than what you think.
Yeah, and for people that know, like, let's just say, like, for us, you could talk about a residential loan. That's where you're buying a house.
Yeah.
But we're in the commercial business. So we have a residential loan. We have a commercial loan, two separate lenders.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of those things is that people got to understand when you're dealing with other people's money is also not putting all your eggs in the same basket.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to look at it. You got to understand, how can I get the best bang for my buck from the people who will treat us the best and who also will give us the best return for what we're looking for?
Right.
Because you got to understand, man, it's read the contracts. Some of that fine print stuff, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They hide it.
Yeah.
They hide it. They are like, they will triple backdoor dare you on the back end, and you ain't got a clue. You be like, oh, we need to go. And then as we get into it, you're like, wait a minute, what was this?
Right.
Just get in here. And now you turn around, you're looking, and you're like, how did this happen? Because she was borrowing somebody else's money.
They set those terms.
And that is a big key. The terms of the deal. That right there, and a loan can make or break you.
Right. Absolutely.
interest, the interest rate. Some of these interest rates on some of these financial institutions is ridiculous. Like some of them are charging double digit interest rates. And if a lot of people don't even realize that, double digits,
that's a lot.
That is a lot of money. If somebody charge you 18, 19, 20%, you need to turn around and leave.
Oh, I mean, a lot of times that's with like personal loans, smaller personal loans. And
but you still leave on that too?
Yeah, shoot, you better. Even like credit cards and revolving debt, they can hit 26, 29, 30%. It ain't nothing you can do about that.
Except don't get that call.
That's true. That's what you can do.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. But credit cards, that's other people's money.
That's absolutely.
That's other people's money. Absolutely. That goes into the same realm. You got to look at what you're signing up for. Because remember, I'm from the college days where they had the predatory credit card lenders. Yes. I bought a credit card. I got a credit
card. You didn't buy no credit card.
I got my first credit card my freshman year. So I'm back M&M's in a t-shirt.
Student Union.
China, they hoodwinked me quick. Them M&M's was good.
That's crazy.
My interest rate was 9.9%.
That's actually hella good.
Yeah, but at 18, you don't know what that means.
You don't. But now I'm like, man, on a credit card, that's good.
That was back in 98.
Yeah.
You ain't getting that now. You ain't getting that nowhere near close.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, no, no. In the world of inflation, stimmy checks, and everything going higher and your pay going lower, nah.
It ain't necessarily that your pay going lower. Your pay just isn't staying on track with the increase in everything else.
It just look low now.
Compared to everything else, you're like, shoot, I need two of these jobs. How can I work 240 hours?
Girl, you got like 8 full-time jobs.
Listen, I know that. I'm just saying. But yeah, the whole credit lending thing and other people's money, that's a taboo topic. Because it's some, you know, there are some instances where people don't even, you know, understand those parts of it. They may not be at those stages or phases within their life. They might be a first generation home buyer. You still got some people that are first generation college grads. You don't think you're some damn first generation home buyers?
Church. Tabernacle.
So that's a topic that, you know, that, you know, people will be like, wow, that don't really bother me. That doesn't impact me. That doesn't affect me. That may be true to some extent, but hopefully you'll get to the point where those topics are of relevance to you. And you're starting to pay attention to those interest rates and, you know, percentages and everything.
But yeah, it's crazy. We're in the year of 2024 and the year about halfway over. And we're still in the year first for some people in the African American community. Yeah. That still speaks volumes.
Yeah.
So if you're still in the year of the, I'm the first to graduate college.
Yeah.
Or I'm the first to get multiple degrees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm the first to purchase try to get my white picket fence in my house. Let's read the fine print. Let's pay attention to what we're signing up for. Let's also do our research and due diligence to see who is the best person or institution for us to borrow that money from.
The best institution. Yeah, you're
yeah, because listen,
right.
So listen, don't fall for the pack of M&Ms. We can't take the pack of M&Ms and a freeze t-shirt in 2024.
But you know, another thing I want to point out, actually it's two things and then I'm going to be quiet. Number one, you mentioned we in the era of the stimmy check. What you say? We're going to be paying for that stimmy check for another decade.
I just, listen, I'm going to tell y'all right now, there is a economist or 10 or 12 that are already doing
right
the books for the stimmy check. They're going to produce this in about 20 years, come 2040, 2045. They're going to show how that those $3.6 trillion, however much government buyouts and all that stuff, those stimmy checks, they're going to tell you how it basically crippled the American economy.
Yep.
We're almost to the phase right now. The middle class may not survive the next 10 years.
It's rough.
Yeah, we're either gonna be rich or gonna be poor.
Yep. It's, yeah. You're gonna be right there somehow. I don't even know what my second point will go. Can't even remember that.
Because your first point is kicking our ass right now. Stimmy chicks is kicking our ass.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
Like just right now, like even in like me and my wife talk about this all the time. What does it cost you to eat right
now? Too damn much.
Even the stuff that you've been buying. Like me and my wife have been purchasing products from certain companies for years. Everything's gotten smaller. Like my wife says all the time, the caloric intake cannot be the same. Like this bar is smaller. It's a third smaller. Right. Than it was right. last time a year and a half ago.
Right.
This still cannot be the same 160 no. calories. And I'm no. like, you're right. I said, because this bar ain't even coming out to the end of the R on the packaging anymore. The R is now folded up on the package because it's got the name of it. And the R used to have a bar up under it, like a product bar, the thing you used to eat. No, the R is flapping in the wind now because they put it back so much.
So they was either lying in
or
they lying now.
No, you're right. But guess what happens? We've lost a third of that bar. The price is going up 40%. And the calorie is still the same. You're like, how the fuck is that?
Some ain't working.
I blame the stimmy. Damn stimmy. That for, listen, listen, y'all. That 1400, I hope it saved everybody. It's gonna crumble the middle class.
I don't even know what my second point was. It was something about lenders. Cannot remember, but the STEMI I had to point out.
But guess where the STEMI came from? Lender.
Yeah.
Who lended that money to us?
Yeah.
Federal government. Yeah. And then they turned around and upped everything.
Took everything all the way up.
Flights up, gas up, house up. People now cannot afford the places that they were paying for 2 years ago.
Nope.
Because their mortgage rates have increased and their personal property taxes have increased. People don't realize those are two big things also in being a homeowner.
Yep. It
and
is.
Borrowing other people's money weighs in on both of those.
That's true.
Because Ms. Parker hit me up into how to fold in taxes into your mortgage payment and how you do those things. I didn't understand all that. She she hit me with the math. She like, no, you do this. You roll that up in there. Then that way you don't have to hold that money to the end of the year.
You right.
Been paying your personal payment tax all year long.
Yeah. Wow. Gee. You didn't look at me. Now I can't even think of it.
It's not personal property.
It's insurances and stuff.
Yeah. But it's you rolling it into the mortgage.
Into escrow.
That's what it is. Yeah, the escrow. So, it's just little things about folding the escrow into your mortgage payment and paying that already throughout the year. They're not going to come up with a lump sum at that determined time. April. See, it saves people time and money.
Yeah.
Because you already using other people's money.
Right.
To get what you need to get. So, and so, man, Ms. Parker, I really appreciate you enlightening us and just, helping us give people some insight about, the borrowing aspect of how to look at lenders. Because I'm going to tell you, it is your due diligence to look at multiple lenders.
It is.
And if you are confused, there's no reason to not ask multiple questions.
That's right. You can ask all of them. You can just create a standard list of questions and you can ask, you can pick three of them. Out of that three, one of them going to say, no, we're not doing the lending right now. The other two is going to say, we're actively doing it. Here's, the answers to these questions or here's the application. The other one may say, we're doing it. We're kind of weighing out our options, trying to see if it's a good fit because they're going to do that shit too.
That lets you know that I need to look for somebody else while I'm still dealing with y'all.
That's right.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And like I said, these three letters that Parker made me understand really good. APR, annual percent. What's it?
Percentage rate.
Annual percentage rate. That's it right there. Because if they charging you annual percentage rate of somebody that shoots field goals in the NBA, leave right now. Leave. If they charge you 27, 38, 48%, get the hell away from them, folks. You will be paying them forever.
Hey, yeah, you will.
And another thing I understand, you want to be paying principal a lot sooner than you paying all that interest.
That's right.
You want to get the interest out of the way and get to that principal, because that principal will get your number down.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, you know, man, we're just telling y'all, you know, when y'all deal with other people's money, just keep your eye out. Do your research, man. Ask plenty of questions. Remember, you are there to keep them in business.
That's right.
Not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't reaching out to you.
Nah.
And some of the banks are reaching out to you. Hit them. Answer the call and be like, hey, what you talking about?
What you got?
Yeah. And crunch them numbers and see if it's financially feasible for you.
That's
because you'll be surprised. Right now, there are lots of lenders who need to move their money around. And so when them in the need of moving their money around, they're going to probably drop your interest rate. And if they dropping your interest rate, hey, you might want to look at them.
That's right.
And so, you know, Ms. Parker, I appreciate you. And, you know, like I say, we talking about other people's money. I think I'm a roll out on this one this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I really appreciate my wife for keeping me abreast of all this stuff. Is that at the end of the day, money makes the world go round. But if you, as a customer, are not around to help move that money, then they're in trouble. We'll catch y'all next time.